the Pacifica Foundation's Audit Committee. We are starting this meeting. It is 8:36 p.m. on July 14th, 2020. Let's see. My agenda's here. So, yes, we will first take the roll. But let me make a little announcement beforehand, which is that I think Aki Tanaka is no longer on this committee because he resigned, I understand, from his LSB, which means he's off the PNB and no longer on any committees. So you can scratch him off there, Bella. But then go ahead and call the roll. That's great.
Adriana Karsenavis.
Present. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you.
Bella DeSoto, present. Darlene Pagano.
Who's on?
Eileen.
I am here.
Eileen Rosen.
Rosen. I'm here.
Eric Jacobson.
Present.
Grace Aaron.
Here.
James McFadden. Julie Hewitt.
Here.
Lyndon Foley.
Here.
Marilyn Rutt Downey.
Here.
Sandy Weinman. Sean Rhodes.
I'm here.
William Heerwagen.
Present.
Okay. Madam Chair, we have two are missing, and that's and somehow I am having problems with my Word document. I was not able to mark any of them, but except two people.
I've got it all marked, Bella, so I can give it to you later.
I don't know what's going on here. I've been having some computer issues. Anyway,
I think it's three people. Darlene Pagano, have you turned up? James McFadden and Sandy Weinman. Maybe they'll turn up in the next few minutes. Okay, thank you. Just to mention, we will also have on the call tonight Jorge Diaz, our primary auditor from the audit firm of Rogers & Company. This is their second year auditing Pacifica's financials. George Walter, who is our CPA, and I'm sorry, George, I always forget your title, from NETA. He can tell you when he gets on. Anita Sims, who is the head of the business center at NETA, will be joining us a little later. She's giving a report at the finance committee, but she'll come and join us a little later. Lydia Basson, the interim executive director, will be joining us. She was running a little late. And I think that's it for tonight. Our next point on the agenda is selection of timekeepers. Can we have somebody to at least keep track of the points, you know, the agenda items?
This is Lyndon. I'll track the agenda items.
Okay, great. Thank you.
If you tell me how many minutes are on each one.
Excuse me? Do you have the agenda, Lyndon? Hang on, Bella. Do you have a copy of the agenda?
I'm gonna go look for it now.
Okay, because it's on there. That'd be great. Okay, that's Lyndon Foley. Thank you very much.
Okay.
All right. The next point here is approval of the agenda. Are there any objections to the agenda, to the draft agenda? Was written. Okay, well, hearing no objections, I think we can take it as approved. All right. Next point is approval of minutes from June 1st, 2020. We sent out a revised version a couple, 3 days ago. I don't know if anybody had a chance to look them over.
Madam Chair, Bella,
yes?
I had also sent them after the same adjustments were made last month.
Well, actually, Bella, the version you sent out on June 22nd was the same one that you'd sent out right after the meeting. I think you must have attached the wrong document.
Oh, I see. Wow. Okay.
Okay, thank you. Okay, that's it. All right. As you know, you can always come back if you find something later in the minutes and ask for it to be corrected. So does anybody have any objections to approving the minutes from June 1st right now? Hearing none, I'll take them as approved. All right. I think we can move forward now. According to the agenda, we'll have a walkthrough of the fiscal year 2018 financial statements, also called the audit, by Jorge Diaz, who's our auditor, with input from George and Anita from NETA. I'm not sure if Tamara Swiderski is joining us tonight. She also works on our accounts at NETA. Once Jorge gets through his presentation, then he can take questions from the committee members or have any discussion if anybody wants it. So, Jorge, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Eileen, and good evening, everyone. Again, my name is Jorge Diaz from Rogers & Company, the audit principal assigned to lead up Pacifica Foundation's 2018 audit. This is the second year that our firm was engaged to perform the audit. As a reminder, we did have a previous principal on the account for 2017, so this is my first full year, or first full audit cycle, I should say, being associated in leading up the foundation's audit. What I'll do is I'm going to go through the financial statements at a very high level, touch on some changes, some key things to be looking at, and also, you know, touch a little bit on the footnotes. I'm not going to dive too much into the numbers unless there are questions, as this is FY18, and again, since we're again almost towards the end of fiscal year 2020, I just want to focus more on the qualitative things in here. But of course, if you all have any questions surrounding the numbers, myself or NETA or a combination of us will be happy to address those. These are in draft form, so pending any comments or revisions that you all have, and once this does then go to the full board for approval, we'll go ahead and get this finalized, and then, of course, move on to the FY20 audit, which we'll touch on. I'm sorry, the FY19 audit, once I go through the presentation of the FY18 audit. So if you want to follow along with me, just as a reminder, on pages 1 and 2 is the independent auditor's report.
This is Lydia, just letting you know I'm on the call, but I'm going to mute.
Oh, thank you, Lydia. You're welcome.
Thanks, Lydia. I'm just touching on page 1 of the audit report. So just as a reminder, management's responsibility in this whole process is to, for the preparation of the fair presentation of the financial statements, are also responsible for maintaining a level of internal controls relevant to the fair presentation of the financial statements. Us, as auditors, we're responsible to express an opinion on those statements. Now, you'll notice that there is the same level of opinion that we had in the past in 2017 audit, as well as what the previous auditors issued, at least back to 2016. So this is for fiscal year 2018, so we're providing an opinion as of that balance sheet date. And so just, I don't think there's any surprise that we're still having a disclaimer of opinion due to the shape of and the progress being made with the pension plan audits. There has been a lot of progress with that and some positive developments in that area, so I'm confident that this is going to continue to get better. But just, unfortunately, because of the lapse of and of what has happened with the pension plans in the past, we were we still had to keep that same level of opinion for the 2018 audit. I am happy to report, though, that the 2017 audit had scope limitations regarding some audit evidence that we were unable to obtain when we did go out and request certain samples for that 2017 audit. So I'm happy to say that that scope limitation is no longer on this opinion. So what that means is that when we requested all the samples from NETA, as long as the various divisions, we obtained 100% of the support to substantiate those audit samples. So very good news there. That just goes to show there's been a lot of work in that area, and certainly NETA having some more time under their belt to develop certain processes and protocols and getting tracking down the information led to that. So we do still have to mention the 2017 scope limitations since this is a full comparative audit. But I did want to point out that that was quite significant progress made from what we did see in 2017 regarding the audit support. The other couple paragraphs on page 2 talk about substantial doubt about the going concern. So, you know, no surprise, but, you know, you still are in a deficit position and you've had recurring years of losses. So we have to put an emphasis of matter paragraph in here saying that management is assessing the going concern issue here and that there are plans in place, which references note 12 and note 13 in the audit report, which is the footnotes, which I'll go over momentarily. The last paragraph here is the other matter. Just to let you know that there are supplemental information, supplemental schedules in the very back of the audit that shows the breakout of assets, liabilities, reserves, revenues and expenses per division or per station. Now, as a reminder, Pacifica Foundation is one legal entity. We audit and do and we perform our audit to get an audit opinion on Pacifica Foundation as a whole. So we take all the accounts and balances of all the divisions, we combine them, and we treat it as one entity because technically it is one legal entity, and that's what we base our opinion on. But there has been obviously, you've had this in the past, and it's more for management use to be able to provide that level of detail between the various divisions and stations, which is in the back. And that's all that other matter paragraph is saying on page 2 of the audit report. So moving along, page 3 is the first of several core statements that we base our opinion on. As a reminder, statement of financial position, that's just nonprofit lingo for what a balance sheet is. And, again, I'm not going to jump too much into this, but the first section is your assets, middle section is your liabilities, and then the remaining section is your net assets or your reserves, if you want to call it that. Now, as a reminder, this statement is very timing-driven. It's a snapshot of a given point in time. But at the end of 2018, the majority of your assets were in the form of cash, cash equivalents, restricted cash, and property and equipment. In fact, 97% of your assets were in those three classes, okay? Assets, from an audit perspective, we look at the main thing we look at is existence, because overstatement is the biggest concern there. So we go out and we confirm all your cash accounts with the outside institutions, and we make sure that the property and equipment lives and any significant transactions in that, for example, the sale of the property in Berkeley was, you know, essentially done in terms of or properly reported from a gain and from your gain on sale and whether the depreciation accumulated and things of that nature that were written off. So those are the big things that we do look at on your asset side. The liabilities, very straightforward. There's a couple dashes, which means, you know, some changes from the previous year. So majority of your liabilities are in the form of your vendor payables as well as your notes and your debt to various lenders. Now, as a reminder, the accrued rent was some back pay that you all, some back rent that you all had for WBAI, and then you'll see the most significant or the biggest change in your liabilities is that addition of your notes payable representing the debt associated with, you know, getting out of the New York property and also getting into Fort Times Square. So that's all associated, and those are the main changes that I did want to point out under liabilities. And then finally, the last section here is your net assets, or as I said before, your net deficit position. Your deficit was down, or actually increased about $7,800, which represents the deficit for the year, or the result of operations, and I'll touch on that in a moment. One thing that's on the horizon in the auditing and accounting world is there is a new standard that Pacifica will be have to incorporate for their next audit, for their FY19 audit, and this is ASU 2016-14. And what this is just tweak a little bit about the presentation of financial statements of all nonprofit entities. The reason I bring that up is because you see your three classes here: unrestricted, temp-restricted, and perm-restricted net assets. Those, the temp-restricted and the perm-restricted are actually going to condense to one category, and then you'll still have your unrestricted net deficit. But what's important here is that, as a reminder, you have some endowed funds for which you have to remain and keep the corpus intact. And you've always tracked, which is not unique, but, sometimes when you have underwater endowments, whereas, you're essentially been borrowing against the corpus, that has always been required prior to the standard to be tracked within your unrestricted reserves. So starting next year, you're actually going to see a reclass of approximately, now I don't have the FY19 numbers in front of me, but if that were to be implemented this year, you have about $560,000 going in the positive direction towards your unrestricted net assets and decreasing your permanently restricted net assets. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't monitor and recoup the corpus of these endowed funds, because of course you still have to do that subject to, various principles, for example, for UPMIFA and stuff like that I have in the audit. But point I'm saying is that next audit, you're actually going to see because of this standard, you'll see a difference into what the classes of your net assets look like, and actually your unrestricted deficit, which should decrease, absent any wild swings or variances in your overall operations, okay? Moving on, just to touch on the operations point for a bit, on page 4, this is a statement of activities. This is your P&L statement. So this takes all the activity of all divisions, and it says, okay, tells a story as to where did you all earn your revenue and where did you all essentially spend your money in the form of your expenses. So, of course, the majority of Pacifica's revenue and support is in the form of listener support and donations, as well as grant and contributions. That is 84% of your total. Where did you all earn your revenue and where did
you... Oh, why are we getting an echo?
I don't know. That's odd. I think that sounded a lot like me, so I'll just keep going on. Okay. So
somebody might be streaming at the same time, which is a delay.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So I'll just go on, but of course, any questions, feel free to stop me. But again, 84% of Pacifica's revenue is in the form of your first two line items there, your grants and contributions, as well as your listener support and donations. One new line item I did want to bring your attention to was the gain on sale of property of $727,000. Just as a reminder, we have a footnote on that, and that just represents the sale of the Berkeley property that is required to be reported in your operations for the fiscal year 2018. Then below this, your expenses are functionally based, which means all nonprofits are required to report your expenses by function and by program. So this is essentially just laying out that $5.3 million is on your program service, your mission-related activities. And then you also had about $5.2 in your overhead management and general type activities, as well as a little over $1 million in your fundraising and development. So this is, again, a very summarized breakdown of the P&L statement for the Pacific Foundation. And if you add that together, you have a $7,800 deficit for the year. Now, just looking at a trend there, you have suffered some losses the last few years, but this is the best year it's been, at least since 2015. So, hopefully, I don't have a crystal ball, and we're in some trying times, and all nonprofits are, as long as all organizations are, with what's going on with COVID and everything else in the world. So, again, we'll see how FY19 and the future shakes out, but just wanted to point out that if you were to look at the historical trend, FY18 was the best year from a results standpoint, at least since 2015, and that's as far as the data I have back there, okay? I won't go over page 5. That's just a 2017 statement. Page 6 is the statement of functional expenses. As a reminder, this is just the summary or detailed information of what the summary expenses has on the previous page that I went over, your statement of activity. So the far left column is just your natural expense categories, and then it divvies it up depending on what the program service and your management general and fundraising is. Your biggest expense, along with as is in every almost every single nonprofit organization that we audit, is your personnel costs. That's running at about 52% of your total expenses. Right in line with industry averages, we see personnel, it's quite a big range, but we'll see it between 45% of total expenses all the way up to 65%. So, again, it's quite the big range, and it varies depending on many factors, but you're running at 52%, which certainly is within the nonprofit industry that we see, not only in the D.C. area, but, of course, nationally. One could also argue, okay, well, you know, Pacifica does also have a lot of consultants that they use. So even if you were to assume all your consultants would become in-house employees, that would only then bump up your ratio to about 58%. So, again, no matter how you slice that, no one could ever pick up your financial statements and say, you know, there's an inefficient workforce or there's two, you know, the salaries are not in line with the total expenses and stuff of that nature relative to other nonprofits. So that's just one thing I wanted to, the high-level thing I did want to point out there. I won't touch on page 7. That's just a comparative 2017 statement. And then the last core statement I wanted to touch on was page 8, which is before the footnotes. It's called the cash flow statement. This is a required schedule.
Can I ask a real quick question?
Yes, absolutely.
Are we waiting until the end of your presentation to ask general questions about these pages, or are we supposed to stop you?
It's up to you. You can stop me, I'm also planning on opening up the floor at the end, but it's really up to you. So I'm happy to field questions now.
I'll go whatever the group wants to do.
I'm sorry, but who's speaking, please?
This is James McFadden.
Okay, James. Normally, please ask for the floor and give your name when you do so. Thank you.
Can I have the floor as a James McFadden?
Yeah, go ahead.
The question, there were two questions about this spreadsheet on page, let me make sure I got the right page, page 6. One was NETA under the audit and accounting, or was NETA under the consultants? And then the second question was the rent tower, is that for the old Empire State, and is that going to be missing in the future, or it's going to go down because we switched towers? I'm just trying to keep track of historic things.
So, yeah, absolutely. No, those are good questions. So the NETAs, their fees are included in the audit and accounting, I believe. The reason I think that is because our audit fee is not that high. So there are additional things in that line item that I believe are NETA consulting, accounting consulting services. As for your second question, the tower rent, that represents, I believe that represents fully whether it's the new lease agreement or the old lease agreement relating to New York for which you all are paying rent. So that's the biggest thing. So it doesn't there is a new arrangement in place for 4 Times Square, the license agreement there, for which that will continue to – you'll continue to pay rent and see rent at least until, I think, 2020 – well, it's a 10-year arrangement. So I think 2028 would be the last year there. So that is predominantly what the rent is being charged in the New York location.
Okay, thanks.
Yes.
If possible, this is Eileen's chair. If possible, I'd like to ask Jorge to for us to allow Jorge to get through the presentation, because some of your questions may be answered from within a footnote later on that he's going to get to. So maybe you can jot down your questions and we can get to
Eileen, please. My question is a follow-up.
Identify yourself. Please
answer This is Bella DeSoto from KPFK. Hi, George.
Yes.
I would like to be recognized, Eileen.
All right, Bella, what is it? What's your...
Thank you. James asked about NITA's fees. We have consultants, and we have audit and accounting. So audit and accounting would be your firm, of course, and consultants would be NITA, would it not?
No.
Okay. Then the question is, I noticed that consultants is a very are high numbers under program services. Now, that would be outside contractors then?
May I answer?
George?
People like engineers, you know, studio engineers. It could be, I know WPFW, we have... an admin person who is a consultant. We have all kinds of consultants.
No, I am predominantly concerned with outside labor, outside specific labor, which is, of course, outside contractors. And I noticed that this year and last year, they were separated from personnel costs, whereas before they were included because I never – could find outside contractors on a separate line item. So the consulting area is extremely high. And then if NITA is included under audit and accounting, which should be because they're also part of the accounting group, then I notice under management and in general, that's where they would be. But I would like to get a clear picture on specific outside contractors, which can be found, of course, on the consolidated financial statements at the end. But I wanted to have clarity on that.
We got your point. We got your point, Bella. Thank
you. Okay.
It'd be helpful if you wrote that down and sent an email around as to what exactly you want. Don't forget NETA. Which is how they refer to themselves. NETA didn't start working with us until late in the year 2018, so they wouldn't show up all that much here.
Right.
What we'll do is we'll go ahead and get some detail. And again, this is in draft form. If there was some sort of reclasses or if there are some lines that perhaps you want to break out and show a little more detail, we can take that in consideration. The next step, I think, is just to – I'll get you a little more detail on that, and we'll go from there, and we should be able to accomplish and remedy any concerns or questions via email. So I'll jot that down, and we'll go ahead and get that over to you at the conclusion of the call, okay?
Thank you.
I'll open it up for questions, just to touch on the last core statement here on page 8, the statement of cash flows. This is a required schedule. Not super meaningful. It's a little bulky in my opinion, but of course we're required to put this on here. What this does is it takes your accrual-based change in net assets and it backs out temporary and timing differences to see how it impacted your cash position. So the big takeaway is your cash did increase, and sometimes it's easier to look at the schedule from the bottom up. Your cash did increase about $436,000 compared to last year. But the real big takeaway is that you had cash, that you had an influx of cash from your financing activities, which of course is the amounts that the lenders are providing to you all. And you had some cash provided as well from your investing activities, predominantly because of the sale of the real estate. Those are the big takeaways. And then of course, that's backed out, in your operations for, you know, the big thing is essentially paying down the back rent associated with New York. So, again, not super meaningful, but just conceptually, I just wanted to point that out, what the reason and what the purpose of that cash flow statement is. So after page 8, starts the notes to these financial statements. I'm only going to touch on various places that really did change or something that I really wanted to highlight or emphasize to you all. But note one is just your nature of operations, saying that, you know, who you all are and the fact that you do have divisions or various radio stations that essentially all combine and roll up to your legal entity. And note two spans various pages. What this is it summarizes Pacifica Foundation's significant accounting policies. Now, all of your accounting policies are within generally accepted accounting principles, and they're all very consistent with the previous year. Again, this spans until page 12. And the one thing I did want to highlight on page 12 was the recently issued accounting pronouncements. As stated, the second paragraph under there, that will be a new standard coming next year for next audit. Just tweaking mainly those net asset classes that I mentioned on page 3, as well as providing a little bit more information about liquidity and availability of assets and stuff for Pacifica. So, you know, we'll work hand in hand with NETA as well as management to make sure that you're all ready for that. But that's really not impacting how you all look at Pacifica or how you all govern the organization. It's more just some tweaks to the outside financial statements for which you will notice, and I'll bring up for the next audit when that does start and then when that does get concluded. The other pronouncement that we list here is a leasing standard. I won't touch on that in great detail. That continues to get pushed out by the FASB. Mainly all other industries except the tax-exempt world had to adopt that. And I think the FASB, mistakenly kind of put a blanket ruling on all industries saying that that was to be adopted. But for the tax-exempt world, that, again, continues to get pushed out. So point is that's not going to impact you all too much. What that will do is change your balance sheet a little bit in terms of beefing up your assets and beefing up your liabilities. So that continues to get pushed out. I don't think that's going to be at the very earliest, that should be 2022 until that lease comes down. So, we have a number of audits to get through before that leasing standard does occur. But, again, I wouldn't even be surprised if that continues to get kicked down the road because really not too relevant to the nonprofit world, okay? Moving on to page 13, the thing I did want to emphasize here was the last paragraph saying that just notating that you all had a real estate property sale. And just describing the basic terms and what did occur with the sale of the property. Page 14, we combine this statement. We combine this a little bit. We're just describing the major terms of your notes payable as well as your equipment loan payable that has to do with relocating to Fort Times Square. So we just moved it around a little bit compared to last year to keep all of the liabilities associated with your loans and your debt in one place. So that's really the only thing that changed on that page. And then on page 15, of course, we do have a future minimum rental payment schedule just so the financial statement reader can see what the obligations are for that equipment loan payable. Moving on, your net assets have not changed very much. This bottom of page 15 spans all the way to page 18, really hasn't changed. This is just describing your endowments, saying that they are subject to ABMIFA. And as a reminder, this is going to change a little bit next year once we do have that ASU 2016-14 implemented for Pacifica. So, again, we'll touch on that. Not going to change in terms of your net income or newfound money, but just some presentation changes for which is actually going to make your unrestricted deficit look a little lower due to reclassing some of those underwater endowments, assuming they're still underwater at the end of FY19, okay? Going on to page 18, this discusses note 8, page 18 discusses commitments and contingencies, just your general contingencies related to your operating leases, has a future minimum lease payment about surrounding all your multi-year lease obligations for your various places, as well as your equipment, facilities, and towers. We also then move on, page 19, regarding various general contingencies. in various agreements that you all have or have had through 2018. Page 20, there are some notable changes regarding the pension plans. As I mentioned at the onset of the call, there's been a lot of improvement and a lot of progress made with the issues surrounding the pension plans. We tried best to describe the updates that have been made. So, I mean, certainly feel free to read that. Any suggested revisions or changes to that, we're welcome to. But this, again, is just describing your two plans, the fact that there have been issues, and the fact that it is getting resolved. And hopefully, again, we'll have even more updates and better results when we're in time to file the 2019 audit. Okay. The note 10 not changed too much. Just talking a little bit more about your compensated absences and the accounting surrounding that. So no real changes there. Note 11 just talks about various pending and threatened litigations that really describing. The resolution regarding what did occur in New York. So you all can read through that, but that's just providing an update as to that. That was essentially in better shape at the end of 2018. Note 12 and 13, these are the two footnotes, which is now I'm on page 24. These are just the two footnotes that that is referenced in the emphasis of matter paragraph in the opinion. Regarding the going concern, this just lets you know that there is a results of operation. There have been significant operating losses. And then what we worked with management just regarding the outline of the going concern issues, as well as what are management plans to intend to mitigate future conditions and events surrounding the operations and shortfalls here. So, I in talking with Lydia, I understand that there was something that is in order, very specific plans in place to try and right the ship and to get some better operations and some better results for the year. And this is just a very general summary as to what Pacifica Foundation's plan is in place. And, you know, obviously you all have had extensive conversations. And that's the biggest, the biggest thing that Pacifica needs to be worrying about right now. And so nothing should be new there, but that is just, again, the further support and reference from the audit opinion about the going concern. The last thing I want to point out was on pages 28 and spans to the end of this financial statements. These are the supplemental schedules, as I mentioned. So, again, this just breaks up the assets, liabilities, reserves, along with your P&L by division so that you all can see that. But all the total numbers roll up, and they tie exactly to those core statements that I did point out at the onset. So, again, as a reminder, we take all the divisions, all the accounts and balances, and we audit them as the one legal entity, Pacifica Foundation, as a whole, okay? So I know I went through those footnotes quite quickly. So at this juncture, I'll just open up the floor for any questions about the process, any questions about the footnotes, about the numbers, anything in general. I'm happy to field them at this time.
Bella to the stack.
Bella? Anybody Bella. Else to the stack right away? Hang on a second. Anybody
stack.
Else to the stack right away? Sorry?
McFadden to the stack right away.
Okay, Bella, then James. Okay. Well, we can start with Bella and James. Okay, and please, we want to try to be concise and brief so we can get through. All right, Bella, go ahead.
Yes, thank you so much, George. That was a great presentation, very swift. We have had considerable losses. Your recommendations are clear. That we need better accounting practice. That, of course, that has been consistent over the years. NIDA has been very helpful. I just don't feel we should continue long-term. Having said that, I would like to get clarity on what I mentioned before. And I notice also our bank charges are in astronomical numbers. How in the world can we get 119,000 $119,300 for under management and general under bank charges and credit card fees. It is unbelievable. This is, of course, aggregate consolidated. The other thing is that between consultants and outside labor, meaning outside contractors, we need to really break that down, and I expect that that you will provide that. Really appreciate that. Then I noticed that we have another classification of outside services. So here we have consultants and outside services. So perhaps we need these two classifications need to be further broken up so we can have more clarity. I noticed that you did not cover page 11. On page 11, I made some notes because it's precisely where I noticed that we are using the cash basis for our accounting of our cash assets. When the cash is received, that's when it's recognized and posted. But then we use our accrual for all our expenditures. But what is interesting is that we still have to allocate the expenses to the programming area for production of programming. However, we have programs on air that do not pay right away. They are primarily with the Spanish programming, and usually they are billed. And these bill me transactions can take up to a few months or maybe a few weeks or maybe rather soon. But we are not tracking this, the bill me. That would constitute an accounts receivable right away so that the cash basis would be eliminated and we can reference what is being billed and being collected slowly in reference to also credit cards, which come in immediately.
Thank you,
Donna. Do you follow my trend there? So if we are allocating certain expenses,
Donna?
Programs...
excuse me, Donna? I think this might be a question for NETA, for the accountants. So perhaps we want to ask George to weigh in here.
Yes.
I think we've got your point by now, though.
So by the bill me option, I assume you're referring to listeners.
Yes.
Listeners,
yes.
Report.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So in terms of listener support, it's pretty much recorded on a cash basis. If there's other items to be billed to maybe other stations or the affiliates, or underwriting or SCA or rent, that those go through accounts receivable and are recorded on an accrual basis. That, unfortunately, the listener database is throughout the foundation are inconsistent or not used, not very sophisticated. So pulling out a report of pledges receivable is not really practical.
Because
in the big picture, it's immaterial.
This is Jorge. So just kind of point out that. So the biggest risk in an audit for assets or receivables is overstatement. And the way we do that is to see is what is being told to us as auditors properly exists. Now, from a materiality standpoint, it's understood that and what's been told to us is that perhaps these are not, 100% overly, maybe a little bit more than trivial that would have to be recorded here. Now, in terms of the cash basis versus accrual basis, you're only required to get to accrual basis in time for the audit. So if there are cash basis transactions throughout any given year, for which, I don't know, maybe the cash comes in 1 month or 2 months and it all remains within the same fiscal year, not a big deal. The big thing about that is because, you know, cash is king, and it's very important for organizations to be tracking as such and being on a cash basis so that, you know, management can make informed decisions regarding that and not have to worry about the various accrual entries that an ETA has to make prior to getting ready and providing us these accrual-based statements. Now, if there are various transactions from year to year that perhaps could have been accrued for this BillMe receivable for which you pointed out, that's something that, you know, we can look at moving forward and, you know, ensuring that there are proper, you know, systems in place and communication in order to be able to track that is probably the most important thing there. So, you know, not brushing aside, but, you know, if this does become a significant piece of Pacifica's operations, that's something we can certainly assess moving forward. You know, just as a reminder, for the accounts receivable, we're worried about what's being told to us and gouging that to make sure it's a legitimate receivable at the end of the year, for which we did get comfort over that balance, as well as the revenue recognition as of September 30th, 2018. Okay? But
thank you, Jorge. James was on the staff. James McFadden?
I'm just trying to get off mute. Yes, I'm here. My question was just sort of a technical question. On page 18, you have a list of amounts, and then you have a thereafter, and then you have this fairly large number of 816,000. And I don't know what a thereafter means. Is that like the next 5 years, or what? You know, what does that mean?
Oh, that's a good question. I'll explain that. So, for this specific footnote, you're only required to show the next 5 years of payments, and then everything else you can kind of lump it into a category called thereafter. So, the vast majority of it has to do with the New York arrangement that expires April 30th, 2028, and so that is. You know, for the towers, for example, that is obligations for rent from 2024 to 2028, predominantly.
Thank you, Jorge.
Got it. Okay. I thought that was what it was, but I just wanted clarity.
Okay. Is that it, James? Is that all you? Okay. I'm going to just take a minute to tell everybody that Darlene Pagano and Sandy Weinman have indeed logged on to the meeting, and also Anita Sims from NETA is here now, just so you all know. Do we have any more questions? Anybody else for the stack? Because if not, I'll see if Anita wants to say something, or anybody else.
Bella would like to ask a final question of everybody.
All right.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
We never receive a general ledger. We never see a general ledger at our local.
I'm sorry, Bella. I know about your question because I think you sent it to me earlier, and I don't think, I'm not sure it's relevant to approving the 2018 audit. It sounded like
my other question is an internal KPFK problem,
and that right. I think should definitely be taken up, but not in this meeting.
Okay, I understand. The other issue is that based on the audit, the final numbers for revenue and personnel costs do not tie in with previous NETA reports nor local reports from KPFK. So just speaking for one unit, everything is different. So I just wanted to bring that out in the open.
And this is Jorge. I can touch on that, and then of course, if any TA wants to put on anything, but they can respond as well. But yes, so due to the historic operations of the foundation, and the fact that you've had a lot of turnover in your finance department, as well as NETA coming on board, wasn't even here for the entire year under audit during FY18, not at all. There was a lot of necessary revisions to be made for when the time they came up, and perhaps, and this isn't unique, this isn't just going on with the foundation. This happens with many organizations where you have some internal use reports, and then once things come in at the end of the year and things are adjusted and revised and there's proper accrual-based entries are made, some statements can look different than what they were presented internally for. So, again, that's not a large issue. Us as auditors, we take once all the accounts and everything is scrubbed clean by NETA and given to us, that's what we essentially take and test and provide an opinion on. So there could be differences between the audit and the internal reports. And, you know, and we I don't think there's any surprises that there are. For example, it was always of the opinion that once we got to the end or had solid numbers for the FY18 audit, that we would go back and amend the fiscal year 18 990 tax return. So that is in process, and we're almost ready to do that once the audit is in final form. So it was always known that there would be adjustments necessary to make to get ready for the financial statement audit. And that is just kind of, you know, the high-level reasoning for differences from what you've seen internally to what is being presented here today. So, and I'll ask George Walter to respond to that.
Thank you. But just to let you know that our great plain software has had no adjusting entry since fiscal year 16, just for your reference.
This is Grace for the SAC.
Okay. Grace, can you wait and let George answer?
Sure.
Okay.
What Jorge said is right on. The adjustments for what I call audit adjustments, but they were generated by us as part of the audit, and there were about 130 of those adjustments because FY18 was in kind of rough shape when we came in, and so there was a lot of adjustments. And they once the financials appeared to be finalized, I distributed those adjustments to the stations and PRA and national office to get those made. So once they are posted, then the internal reports would match up with the audit. And I, Bella, I'm not sure where you get the information, but the audit adjustments have been made for FY16 and FY17. That's a very important step as we close the year and open the year. That is all up to date, and it was, and so with those adjustments posted, we'll be ready to go into 19.
Not based on the trial balance of KPFKs from Great Plains. It says very clearly, no adjusting entries made since fiscal year 16. And I have not yet seen a general ledger. I'm still waiting for that.
Yep. Okay. I'm not sure what you're seeing, but I assure you the trial balance we're going off reflects all the audit adjustments for 16 and 17. That might be an old note that's left on the report, but they were all entered for 16 and 17, and they're working on 18 right now.
Yeah, and this is Jorge. The last thing I'll say to that is one of the first audit steps we do in any single audit is to make sure that the trial balance is provided to us, the beginning balance ties to the previous audit financials. When it doesn't, that just goes to show that the adjustments that were proposed in previous audits were not made. So that was usually one of the first couple steps that we will do in any single audit, and that all tied out to what was, again, reported to FY17. So, again, offline, if George or myself, if we need to, speak further about that, happy to do so after the call.
Okay. Thank you.
This is Anita. Can I ask?
Thank you both. Anita, Grace, do you mind waiting another minute? Let Anita comment on this.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you.
Sure.
Go ahead, Anita.
Welcome. I wanted to say if anyone needs a trial balance or what have you, if you just reach out to any of us, we'd be happy to provide that. That's not a problem.
Okay.
And also, if I remember correctly, in Great Plains, you have to close the prior year in order to see the year to date. That's another, perhaps not a glitch, but I think that's how it operates. So we'll key in all the journal entries. I think, George, 100 plus is probably a fair statement. Of
about 130.
130, okay. Journal entries that not George will do, but someone else will key in into Great Plains.
Okay, so a question, Anita. So NETA enters the adjusting entries into Great Plains?
No.
You guys do that, or you send them to the stations, and the stations need to enter them?
Our preference, obviously, is to give them to the station.
Are we sure that that happens? That's my question.
No.
Okay.
I do close the loop on that. I sent them the adjustments and instructions for checking balances because sometimes stations will maybe inadvertently post activity to that year after we had pulled the trial balance for the audit. So three things need to happen. They need to make sure no activity was posted after the trial balance was pulled. If there was, to back it out and then to enter these adjustments and then compare to the final audited numbers and to make sure they're the same. And so we won't close until I review all those trial balances coming back.
Okay.
So the three divisions that NETA manages is getting done by us. And Tamara also entered some final entries for the archives. And I haven't gotten the adjusted trial balances back from KPFK, KPFT, or KPFA.
Okay.
There you go. So that's the problem.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, so we won't close until I see it, that it's been done. And then we get a nice clean close and a nice clean open.
Great. I'll make a note that we'll follow up on this. To make sure you get what you need from stations. Okay. Grace?
I just wanted to say that I've been poring over this audit and the management letter, but principally the audit, and I'm very pleased with it, except for some minor typographical errors and a few other things. Minor adjustments that I discussed with Eileen. I'm pretty pleased with it, and I hope we approve it tonight in this committee and on the national board. But I hope it gets approved by the national board on Thursday. I really went over it pretty thoroughly, as I think Eileen did as well.
Okay.
That's what I wanted to say. Thank you, everybody.
Okay.
Put so much time and effort to straighten our finances out enough so that we could come up with a completing this audit.
Okay, great. Thank you, Grace. Marilyn?
Can you hear me?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah. I just have a kind of a simple, basic question. For Jorge to answer, I guess, Jorge, maybe, or Anita. I know last year, just a little bit before, about a year ago, we thought that this audit was going to be finished by June 30th, and then it took another year. And was it those 130 adjustments? Is that what delayed it for a whole year, or what caused the delay like that?
A combination of factors. Certainly having to scrub the data, you know, any TA going back and having to scrub the data and get audit ready takes time. Certainly, you know, you all, you know, just logistically having to track down the support for all the samples we request from the various locations takes time as well. You know, so those are just two examples of why there were, you know, why there are delays in completions. And, you know, not speaking for any TA, but in my experience, whether it's an in-house CFO or a consulting group that has to come in and essentially get ready for an audit for a year for which they weren't doing the books and record keeping, it's frankly, it takes a lot of time. So, you know, we moved the process along as fast as we could, but at the same time, there was a lot of work to be done to get to this point. Again, those are just two examples of what did occur during it. And, you know, I can have more to that and add more to that in the closed session as we have, you know, discussion with that on the management letter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody else?
Eric to the stack.
Eric, please go ahead.
Chair, this is Lyndon. I'd like to tell you we have 5 minutes and 30 seconds to go on this item.
On this point. Okay, thank you. Eric, go ahead.
I'd like to second what Grace said. I also reviewed the audit, and I found it to be impressively done. And I also noticed a couple of those typos that Grace referred to, which I'll send along. They may have already been caught in the rewrite. I'm not sure. But my substantive concern has to do with note five in regard to the various covenants on the loan. And the first bullet point is the submission of audited financial statements within 120 days following the close of the fiscal year. Are we, based on the shape we're in currently, and I know that this refers with respect to those loan covenants to the 2020 audit, is that right? Assuming that's right, based on the state of play, we're finishing 2018, we're going to 2019 imminently. Will we be able to make that 120-day mark when the time comes?
I don't think
if people can opine on that.
I'm sorry. You said in note five, right? Let me go there.
Yeah, it's on page 14.
14. I think part of the question is that, you know, some of these covenants, obviously, we haven't been able to comply with them. So I don't have the answers to how we've dealt with that, but perhaps somebody else here does.
I think this refers, unless I'm misinterpreting it, and I could be, this refers to the due date on the principal, and then they're warning that there's some the covenants include that are that relevant year's audit would have to be the submission of audited financial statements. Yeah, that top bullet point there.
I'm not sure if that refers to all year's audits or just that one particular year. The due date is in 2021.
Just looking ahead, and if anybody knows, if it's too premature,
yeah,
based on where we're at, but I obviously some concern that we wouldn't want under any circumstances to somehow, become out of compliance for lack of
right
ability to meet the relevant deadlines for our audit that year. I think it's that year. I could be mistaken.
I hope so. That's a good point. Does anybody else have anything else to say about that? Because if not, we can look into it and make sure we, try to answer that question. Who wants to
ask? William Hairwagon.
All right. We only have a few minutes left on this. We could extend if people want to.
Extend 3 minutes.
Go ahead, Bella. Please be brief, because William hasn't spoken yet.
Eric, thank you. Bella here. Eric, are you on page 4? Are you on page 4 of the actual management report?
No,
I was on page 14.
Okay, I am on page 14.
Financial statements.
Right. I am on page 14, and I read on page 4, which was the actual management letter, which also refers
to that.
Please,
Bella. Excuse me, Bella. We're not talking about the management letter in this meeting until we go into closed session.
Okay, because there's a reference to what Eric just brought up, and I am concerned about it, and it seems to me the term of 120 days may be a very close call, and so we really need to look into that. I'm concerned about that, too, when I read it, because I don't think we can make it.
This is Jorge. That's certainly, you want to make sure you can abide by any financial covenants in any debt or any organization wants to. I can't speak to what the lender would be thinking or anything, but it's probably important to look at these covenants over and whether any of this can be renegotiated or revised to in light of the current environment could be good. And I don't want to speak for management or even NETA, but again, in my experience, I do know that other organizations who are coming up to a deadline for a covenant or something of that nature, I think the best case scenario is to try and just to try and ration with whoever that lender may be. So again, that's just my 2 cents from an audit standpoint.
Yeah.
Thank you. Time.
Okay. Was somebody else on the stack, or was that it?
Yeah, William.
Oh, William, I'm sorry. So we can extend for a few minutes here. Go ahead, William.
All right, thank you. It won't even take more than one, probably.
Okay.
Two bullet points on that page have to do with the 120 days that I was on the PNB. I'm sure many of you were when this whole loan to the pre-alpha company that we're not supposed to mention, according to somebody. So 120 days, everybody understood that that doesn't matter a hill of beans because we were never up to that, even when we got the loan, never mind the next year. So that's, don't even worry about the 120 days. They would have already called the loan. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. All right. All right. If we have no more direct questions on the audit itself, we can move on to the next point. And let's see. I've got to get back to my agenda. Where did it go? Here it is.
Eileen, I can touch on that. This is Jorge. I can just jump right into it.
Oh, okay, that's great.
So the next item on the agenda is just the status of what is going to be done to start and when are we going to start the FY19 audit process. So assuming this gets approved tonight and we're going to be able to finalize shortly after Thursday, the idea is the priority for the foundation is to get the fiscal year 19 initial 990 filed by the drop-dead date of August 15th. I'm told by NETA that we will have some preliminary financials in order to do that within the next week or so. Now, since we're still a little bit behind the ball and we're still catching up on audit and tax returns, we'll kind of go through the same the same motion in terms of once we're done the F-119 work, if it merits an F-119 revised or amended 990, we will go ahead and go down that path. But I'm confident to say that we're going to obviously hit the August 15th deadline for the F-119-990 and then move into the fiscal year 19 audit work. So in short order, after the FY18 audit is approved and finalized, we'll be coordinating the PVC list requests with NETA as well as the divisions. And really, preparation for that can start, and hopefully – you know, I anticipate trying to close this out much sooner than it has in the past. And I think one of the big things that's going to help is that NETA was really, at least for 6 months of fiscal year 19, really predominantly focused on having all the support and doing the direct accounting for three of the divisions. So that should really, hoping that should move things along. And in terms of when we can get it done or we complete, that's a little premature to discuss. But the idea is to start the work as soon as this FY18 audit is behind us.
Great. Thank you, Jorge. And, I'm hoping that maybe at some point, thinking about our next meeting date, maybe once we have the PBC generated, I wonder if that would be a good time for our next meeting so we can look through and see what is expected of each station or each unit and see how those of us on the audit committee, if we can support our stations or stay on top of the work somehow and or facilitate communications, things like that. I don't know if anybody wants to meet before then or because I'm not sure what else we might want to do, but, you know, I'd be open to it, of course. But that's all I can think of at the moment.
This is Grace for the SAC.
Grace, go ahead.
I'd like to move that this committee approves the 2018 audit and sends it to the PNB for a PNB approval.
Do we have – I don't believe we need a second in committees, right?
Correct. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. I have an objection at this moment.
What is your objection, Bella?
Because NETA has been diligently dealing with three of the five units at least, and, of course, there are four more that have not been under the same supervision, and that leaves KPFK, WBA, KPFK, KPFA, and I believe WPFW, or KPFP,
Sure. Please, what is your objection exactly, please?
That we do not have the proper numbers. We have not been able to get...
Look at me. I'm sorry, Bella, all these numbers have been audited. I don't understand your objection.
Our books at KPFK have not been on a complete chaos. Therefore, I cannot okay this budget at this moment. My questions have not been addressed.
You cannot.
My concern has not been addressed.
I'm sorry. I don't think this is a matter for the audit committee at this time. I don't think it's I think you need to bring this up elsewhere with your KPFK Finance Committee or even the National Finance Committee, with NETA, who are our accountants, or elsewhere. I hope you're not objecting to approving this audit because of your worries about KPFK that none of us who who are not at KPFK have any idea about?
No, nobody seems to care. No one seems to care, it seems.
Bella, we care, but we don't know anything about it, except what you've written in an email. So I'm not sure where to take this. Does somebody else want to comment on Bella's objection?
This is Grace. I have a point of order. I made a motion.
Go ahead, Grace.
And it's still on the floor. I'd like to have some discussion and then hopefully vote on this.
All right.
We'll ask for the stack also.
I'm sorry, who was that? William?
William Hairwagon.
Okay. So we'll have some discussion.
This is Jorge. Sorry to jump in, but I'm happy to kind of just jump off and respond to that. And then William, or if anyone else wants to jump in, they can.
If you have a response for
sure.
For,
yeah, absolutely. So Bella,
that'd be great.
We're not doing an information system or an IT audit. What we do as auditors, from a financial statement standpoint, is we get the books and records from the accountants, and we do various tests, substantive and analytical tests, to be able to, as a basis for audit opinion. So whether there are misnomers or things going on in your station's books, we're looking at entity as a whole, and we're looking at the information that we did receive from NETA. Now, in order to validate that information, that's when we go through and do our substantive samples where we're gouging expenses to various invoices, for example. We're looking quite carefully at the revenue recognition and how to substantiate your donations, your contributions, stuff of that nature.
Shit.
So in terms of what you're all receiving internally, we're looking at it as the outside independent auditor. We're testing the information that's given to us from NETA. Is there the gatekeeper of what's happening with the stations and what's actually coming to the audit firm for which, again, we're providing that opinion on. So I just wanted to clarify what this audit is over and what this and kind of what the report is on. With that, I'll stop there.
Okay. I have been
excuse
years.
Me. You're not recognized right now, Bella. William Hairwagon was on the stack. William,
okay, thank
ahead.
You. Question or comment for Mr. Diaz? Has Rogers signed an agreement with Pacifica to do the next audit? This is the first time hearing of it. I got that from the comment you made 5 or 10 minutes ago.
We're not formally engaged yet. Typically, that would happen in short order after the previous audit is filed and completed. So, no. Short answer is no. We're not engaged yet.
Thank you.
All right. I think we do have a motion on the floor. Does anybody else wish to object or discuss approving this audit, or shall we take a roll call vote? Bella, do you maintain your objection to approving this audit?
Yes, I will approve, but I must be followed up.
Yes, we can talk about that in another venue or at another moment. No, I agree. I mean, you want your books to be correct, but, you know, there are other, I think there are better places to try to deal with that than here. So, yeah, we'll get back to that, okay? All right, so does this mean we have no objections to approving the audit?
Yeah, William doesn't object, but I'd like to hear a roll call vote.
All right. Bella, do you want to call that roll call?
Okay, roll call. Adriana Kasanovic?
Pass.
Pass. Bella DeSoto? Yes. Darlene Pagano? Eileen Rosen?
Yes. Rosen, yes.
Eric Jacobson?
Yes.
Grace Aaron?
Yes.
James McFadden?
Yes.
Julie Huey?
Yes.
Lyndon Foley?
Yes.
Marilyn Downey?
Yes.
Sandy Weinman?
Yes.
Sean Rhodes?
Yes.
William Heerwagen?
Yes, thank you.
Madam Chair, we have... Oh, I need to go back to Adriana. Adriana, how do you vote? Yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, and I believe Darlene is on... Oh, she got muted somehow. Darlene,
oh,
are
you...
Yes.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, now we can. Sorry about that. Somebody must have knocked your microphone.
Okay. Excellent. Okay, we
have
unanimous vote. Yes, Madam Chair.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Madam Secretary. Okay. Do we have any other particular new business or action items that we hadn't yet mentioned? If there are none, then I would move to adjourn. We can all stay on the call, but we would end the stream so that we can pass into executive session.
Okay.
All right. Meeting is adjourned.